Mornings with Bucky and Aaron are brought to you by Bud Light.
What in the wide, wide world of sports is going on here?
Broadcasting live from the greatest city in the world.
Austin, Texas, baby.
It's Bucky and Aaron.
You guys want to play some twos?
You know what? Actually, we're kind of in the middle of a conversation.
B&E.
What's B&E?
Bucky Godbolt, Aaron Hogan on the Horn, 104.9 AM 1260 and hornfm.com with the Longhorns play and Austin Talks Sports.
You think we've gotten too radical with our message? Well, I got news for you. You ain't heard nothing yet. And if you don't know, now you know. Glory, glory. Woo! You better put them hands together.
Put them together for Friday. Put them together for the Mullet Open. It is a annual
tradition like no other.
Tradition unlike any other.
Hello, friends. Remember, that's
okay
how I
greet people. Is it
okay if I
call it the Mullet Open Golf Classic, friends?
That's fine.
I like Golf Classic. It's just the Mullet Open.
Of course, you know what I found myself doing yesterday? Hello, friends. I didn't determine anybody's sexual orientation, male, female. I just said, hello, friends. I'm Jim Nance.
Hey, you know.
Listen, no, you're not.
Neutral is probably the best course of action.
For me, it is, as I've learned my ways.
Well, because you're an old dude who likes to call people hun and dear.
And thank you, ma'am.
Sugar.
Or thank you, son. Thank you, son.
Young lady.
I'm not your son. I'm more like your daughter, I've been told. I'm like, oh, I'm sorry.
Oh, man.
I'm getting there. The best way to do it is just say, hello, friend. I've learned that. I've said a lot of that yesterday. Hello, friend.
Hello, friends.
Oh, we're not being personal anymore, Buck? That's what they said to me.
It is weird to hear, because I was watching the PGA Championship yesterday. It is weird to hear Jim Nance on ESPN.
Yeah.
That is, I mean, it's like so natural for golf. And then you're like, wait a second. This is ESPN. That's Jim Nance. That's pretty cool. He's normally CBS all the way. Hey, let's get to the quick headlines. Get you caught up on the news of the morning. There's plenty of it. About six top stories today. Make sure you're in the know. And then we're going to talk some Mullet Open. Talk to Brad Kellner, who is in the house, now doing great radio down in Houston. His thoughts, because Houston's kind of an Aggie town. He will wonder what he has to say about this Jimbo Fisher, Nick Saban back and forth.
He's kind of part Aggie.
Don't say that to him. Hey, let's get to the headlines. Trending topics. Top Gun Equipment Rentals bring you the news. Of course, every morning in the 8 o'clock hour, they'll be out here today. Brandon Mars and his team. Start over at UFC Dish Falk Field last night. 22nd-ranked Texas blasting Kansas 12-4 to open up that final home series of the Big 12 season. What do you know? Another home run for Ivan Melendez last night. Number 27, he was 3-for-5 with that three-run homer. Mitchell Daly, 3-for-5, also had a grand slam. Pete Hansen, 6 innings to get the victory on the mound. Longhorns and Jayhawks again tonight and tomorrow to wrap up the regular season. Jordan Addison, star wide receiver from Pittsburgh, Biletnikoff winner, has chosen USC over Texas. He will transfer to the Trojans. Of course, had a visit to Austin last week that went well, but USC was seen as the front runner from the jump, and they get that commitment yesterday. Also in college football, after Texas A&M coach Jimbo Fisher went scorched earth on Alabama's Nick Saban on Thursday morning at a press conference. Saban attempted to clear the air with a bit of an apology yesterday. Saban appeared on Sirius XM radio and said he, quote, never should have singled anybody out when making comments about the current name, image, and likeness environment of college football. That story will continue to dominate, without a doubt. NBA playoffs last night, Eastern Conference Finals Game 2. Game 1 was all Miami. Game 2, all Boston. The response as Boston got Al Horford and Marcus Smart back into their starting lineup and torched the Heat. 127-103. Game 2 tonight of the Warriors and Mavericks series out in San Francisco. Warriors took Game 1. Mavericks looking for the bounce back this evening. Baseball last night down at UFCU Dish Falk Field. Down at Minute Maid Park. Astros take down the Rangers in Game 1 of the Silver Boot Series 5-1. Framber Valdez, 7 innings, allowed just a 1 earned run. Jose Altuve had a 4-hit night for the Astros. And Round Rock, how about the Express? They finished off a sweep of Sugar Land yesterday. They're back home tonight to open up a weekend series at the Dell Diamond.
Horn Headlines brought to you by Top Gun Rentals and Lawn Equipment. Come get your steel lawn equipment, Hustler, Toro, and Walker mowers, or Top Hat trailers to get your project going this spring before they're gone. TopGun.net. We'll shoot you straight.
And what is it that Top Gun has donated to the raffles there, Buck?
There is a wonderful trailer out there, hitched, got the hitch and all, can carry up to 2,500 pounds.
Nice.
For the wannabe farmers out there that will be playing in this golf tournament. You know, the ones that will have 4 ranches. Or the ones that will just have a nice house with their Ram truck.
And Super they King Ranch truck in the driveway.
Super King with a quarter of an acre in the back.
That's right.
And they'll call it a ranch. But
appreciate Brandon Mars.
Brandon did a fantastic job. I towed it, helped tote that thing up the road here yesterday, pulling it in the back. So
eager to see him today.
While young BK was doing his show.
Now, we're still trying to discover if BK slept in the right room last night. That's important because he's not sure he did.
Well, the door was open, but he told me plenty of other doors were just open to come walking in at the hotel.
All right, that's fine. We'll check in with BK. But look who is with us here this morning.
Yes.
And exciting. I know yesterday you had the mini mullet open, which went very well. Would you have 40 players yesterday?
40 fantastic players, and, you know, it was absolutely a blast. And that was put on by Austin Cocktails, and one of the fine owners of Austin Cocktail, Kelly Gassing, has joined us this morning. And it's always, Kelly, it's always a pleasure. Your sister's not here.
She's not. She's traveling for work,
okay.
Sadly.
And you know, we want to thank you, first of all, for taking part in this. You know, last year, the Mullet Open itself, we probably turned away 18 teams, and we just can't fit them all. And for the folks that keep telling me, hey, why don't you just have one in the fall? Okay, why don't you spend 6 months of your year running around town trying to do these things? Now, I would do that, but you guys were just so wonderful in saying, well, let's have a little mini mullet. And we'll do it for the same cause. And the boys at the Berg Center, along with what you guys do and what Tito's Beverage does, it is absolutely fantastic for you guys to jump right in there and say, well, let's just do a mini mullet. And it was such a success yesterday. People had the blast, just a blast. And the items that were given out, and plus your product was here yesterday, Austin Cocktails, it was fantastic. And thank you very, very much.
Of course. We're always happy to be here. And we talked last year about our favorite things about our job, and my answer was getting out in the community, that my job gets me out talking to people and knowing what's going on with different charities. This foundation is one of the most incredible in Texas. We're always happy to be a part of it and thrilled to be back.
Yeah, and Austin Cocktails, since our first conversation with you about getting into some stores, one of you guys have really grown, it's safe to say.
Yeah, we have.
And tell us about that new growth that people may not know about.
So we were recently acquired by a company called Constellation Brands, and they own a lot of beloved brands that people have heard of, like Corona, Modelo Beer, beautiful wines like Meiomi and Prisoner.
Wow.
And they just brought us into the fold, and we'd been part of their ventures group, so we were pretty familiar with them. And mm-hmm. Thrilled about the proposition of being sort of in the family. And that became formal about a little over a month ago.
That sounds like a bigger budget. That's what I mean. To me, that sounds like a national.
Totally. Mini, yeah. We don't need a mini mullet. We can have a huge mullet
there you
next
go.
Time. Forget it.
And we talked to some of their representatives yesterday, and they were just so excited about just coming into this room and seeing everything and seeing your product. It was all over the walls here yesterday and just the way things were run yesterday. And it sounds like a group that will be very interested in staying with the charities and doing some stuff, too.
Yeah, they're incredible on that front. And their whole model is really to harvest beautiful premium spirits and make that part of their portfolio. So for us, we get to go back to being makers. I'm not behind my computer anymore the way I was dealing with compliance and accounting. We get to focus on sort of the product and selling and being back doing what we love to do, which is being out in the community.
So and let folks know where this all started. How did this all start
with
you and your sister?
So we have this beloved family tradition that was started by our grandfather called Cocktail Time, and that was his ritual of stopping everything at 5 o'clock on summer nights during harvest, because we're a farming family, and having a cocktail with everyone around you. So for us, it was the backdrop of our most beautiful memories. Our aunts and uncles and cousins and grandparents and parents are all in the background, and the adults all got cocktails, and then our grandfather would make Shirley Temples for all the kids with cherries and 7-Up and grenadine. And then that sort of spawned this lifelong love affair of cocktails. And Jill and I were really actually in our parents' kitchen visiting them in Dallas, and we were making cocktails. And we looked at each other like, these are so good. We should just bottle them because they're such a pain to make. And that was like the moment that Austin Cocktails was born. We had jobs at the time, and we spent some time sort of researching the industry. Thought we knew some things.
Did
we
you did. Know
we had
it was gonna
no
have,
idea
did you
what
know
we
that
were doing.
8-ounce can that was going to have the kick that it has in it?
Yeah.
Because we know some, I don't know, but
yeah.
People I know who have had that little 8-ounce can have said,
yeah.
What a nice little kick that goes along with it for cocktail hour.
We are, you know, different from a seltzer and a beer. We are trying to be kind of a full-bodied cocktail. So it does have a kick. And we talked about how we drink in the morning to test for drink development. I mean, theoretically, I should have a pretty good tolerance, but I still gets me.
I have another couple of guys here, and there's one standing over there. That's working down in Houston. He's got a pretty good tolerance. See, he'll be able to handle it. Mm-hmm.
And what are the flavors? I know vodka one was my favorite, I think, I had last year. Are you still with four or you have more now?
So we are rolling out two new tequila-based products coming soon, hopefully this year. They're out. The formulas are approved. The labels are approved. So we'll just be – it's really a matter of when we can bring them to market. And those are a grapefruit ranch water, which is – delicious, and then a lemon lime ranch water, both made with tequila and then all natural ingredients. And then we have our core three, which are two vodka-based ones, the cucumber vodka mojito and the Fred's Ruby Red, and then a margarita.
Well, we want to thank you. It's just, you know, getting to know you guys from last year, and Amanda, who is just wonderful. I can't say enough about her.
I can't either.
Because I'm always bugging her about stuff, whether it's golf balls or koozies or coolers. I mean, you guys always seem to come through, and we do appreciate it. The boys appreciate it, and I know you know about what we're doing with the young ladies, and we'll get back. You know, I wanted to let you know that we're not dropping out on them. We're just making sure everything is okay before we proceed.
I think you guys are doing all right.
Yes. Well, yeah. And so are y'all. Congratulations on the acquisition and the ability to get back to just being a maker and off the computer. And it's great to see you. And thank you so much for your support of this and the mini mullet and everything that we're doing here.
Thank y'all.
Thank you. Let's grab BK
Kelly,
while he's...
Gassing.
Thank you so much, Kelly.
With Austin Cocktails.
And you got your son here, too, huh? It's bring a son to work day?
I do.
Cool.
He's got to see it in action.
There you go.
That's exactly right. All right. We appreciate you. And again, the partnership and so many partners, Buck, out here.
Absolutely.
It wouldn't happen without him, without a doubt. All right. Kelly Gassing and the folks at Austin Cocktails and Jill, who is traveling. Well, we got to meet her last time.
Yep.
So it's a tremendous thing. All right. A lot of top stories. Big conversations continue coming off of, man, yesterday was just – head on a swivel kind of day, it felt like, because I knew, you know, we talked all the morning yesterday while you were making final prep and getting ready for the mini mullet yesterday. We played the Nick Saban comments from Wednesday night, which, you know, when you heard them, you're like, wow, this is a bomb. Nick Saban specifically naming teams and naming Aggies and saying they bought every player, which, I mean, there was no veil, there was no reference, it was just bang.
I just don't know how you walk that back. That's
can't. And then, you know, to have the, you know, by 9:30 we got word that Jimbo Fisher was having a media availability. And I know my comment about 9:40 yesterday was get your popcorn ready. I'm going to get off the air here at 10, hand it off to light the tower, and I'm going to go listen to this press conference. And it was unbelievable. I've covered a lot
of
press.
He was physically. You could just see it.
His emotions
were right there for you.
It was 9 minutes. It's worth your time. I know I heard it all day yesterday on the station, and everybody did a good job of playing it. But Jimbo Fisher, I've covered a lot of press conferences in my day. I've never seen anything like that. He was angry. He was pointed. He was responding specifically to Nick Saban, and it was personal. We have never. You know, you were in the coaching industry for a long time, so you know behind the scenes there are phone calls like that.
Oh, yeah. Of course there are. There are coaches cussing at each other over the phone, but they don't get out in public and do what happened yesterday. They just don't see that.
I mean, you don't typically, get the sausage being made right in front of you.
Oh.
It was, and of course, Deion Sanders had a pretty vicious tweet towards Nick Saban because he called him out as well. It is open season, and
Nick Saban would not open himself up to that kind of scrutiny unless he knew that he's got what he thinks is the goods. He wouldn't do that. He's way too smart for that.
Correct, and then for Jimbo Fisher's adamant denial, and then personal response. Clearly, to me, Nick Saban is wanting someone to investigate A&M.
Yes, there's no doubt.
The question is, who's going to do that? the Southeastern Conference, I don't think they're going to do that.
Now, you tell me then, who is then going to go investigate Nick Saban then? Well, who's going to really do that?
Well, look, this is – like we see this in criminal activity a lot, right?
Mm-hmm.
When one rat starts ratting, then they rat back on the other and – you know, for Jimbo Fisher to say, hey, I coached for him. I know what goes on. I know what he has to do. Go look into his business. Those kind of things. This is where, you know, if some entity, and I'm thinking of who would actually investigate A&M. I don't think the NCAA is going to look into it. But, you know, do they have subpoena power? Can they get a hold of, you know, text messages? And, look, I do know this. There's going to be media outlets that are going to be doing freedom of information.
Absolutely.
With the athletic department and at Texas A&M. They better hope there's not anything there because they will be searching based on Nick Saban's pointed comments and Jimbo Fisher's response. But it really would have to be like the Department of Justice getting involved in this. I mean, I don't know, but
I'm still surprised
I'm not saying every player.
And trust me, I'm not saying they should. Every player. That is just that's incredible.
Like, I know people will, you know, the feds aren't getting involved, but, you know, that's who it would take. Because if the NCAA will come look at it.
Well, if there's money exchanged, the feds want to know about money, too. You know that.
Yeah,
that's
well, if, money, if money's being paid, is the IRS might want to look into it. I mean, typically the feds get involved in something in college athletics when it's, you know, Penn State and you know, coaches molesting young people, or Michigan State and that situation.
Sure.
But this
the IRS like to know if there's money being exchanged. You know that.
Yeah. Like, to me, that's what that was my take on Nick Saban's comments. He's asking for someone, just go look into it. You'll find it. I know it. I know it happened. I mean, you know, that is harsh. But at the same time, it is to the general commentary in the state of college athletics right now with the wild, wild west nature of what is happening. So, you know, we're seeing it's a whole new endeavor with the players and NIL and transfer portals and things we talk on a morning-by-morning basis. And now it's spilling over into the coaches, because the coaches are in uncharted territory. They're fighting for their control of their program. And, you know.
And these are the hush-hush things. These are the things that coaches don't do to other coaches. They just.
There's a code.
Yeah, that's right. Somebody broke the code.
Who
did break the code, though? Which one was it? Somebody just broke the code here.
Well, and that's what you heard from Jimbo Fisher's voice yesterday was, really?
Yes, you broke the code.
I worked for you, dude. I know stuff. I know a lot of people who know stuff. Don't sit over there and act like you're an altar boy.
But they better be careful of other names that they throw out, or who I used to work for, or if Bobby Bowden, or other names that are being thrown. Be careful, because there's way too much known about some of this other stuff.
Well, that'll become the question. I mean, the code of, hey, we keep these things private. We keep these things behind closed doors. But again,
what you can't catch, we don't generally talk about.
That's the amazing part, right? Name, image, and likeness, and the idea of payment to players has taken things above the table, and now even the coaches are taking it above the table. They're taking it as, here we go. And I don't – you know, Nick Saban, as I said in the update and in the headlines, he kind of walked it back yesterday on Sirius XM and said he shouldn't have singled anybody out, but he did. I mean, you can say that, but he said that for a reason on Wednesday night.
Yes, he did. He wants somebody to do something about it.
He would like, and he thinks they'll find what they're looking for.
And what he's also telling you, I've got my bases all covered. Because he wouldn't say that unless he thinks he's got his bases covered.
Right. When it comes to name, image, and likeness, right? But that's the thing, right? If Jimbo Fisher gets nailed and they find stuff, you don't think Jimbo Fisher's going to start singing back about what he...
Back in
my day, why don't you go look at this, and I can tell you about this, and I can tell you about this. That becomes the domino effect of this potentially in the Southeastern Conference. So we shall see.
Obviously, starting to be rats now. We got rats.
Well,
why do we have rats?
Well, it's an amazing time in college athletics. But you know, is there an entity that can actually investigate that? Will the NCAA come in, and can they prove it? I mean, that's the number one thing. I talked a lot yesterday, Buck, while you were getting ready for the mini mullet. That, you know, it's, you can pay players now. So if they're on campus and they're scholarship athletes, you can create NIL deals for them. Not until they sign. But, you know, when did the money change hands?
And nobody wants their business that happened 10 years ago out there either. Nick Saban doesn't want his business that if they did this, and Jimbo, nobody wants that. Nobody wants to, you know.
Well, and look.
Because they want to think that, yeah, the dude really is the czar. But come on, we're using common sense here.
Right, and the allegation is that A&M was paying players ahead of time to sign with A&M. You know, the bag man before the signature, which it would still be illegal and an inducement under the current rules. Well, look, I got to think there are people at A&M who've given money to these collectives that they don't want to get investigated, right?
No.
They don't want their name tied
to
that. Hell
no, they don't.
If they are indeed skirting the rules. Let's get Brad Kellner into the conversation here. We've got BK sitting here. We're going to find out if he slept in the right bed last night.
Or is he the real bag man?
Is he the real bag man? He is Brad Kellner, now doing great radio down in Houston. What is the name of your show in the afternoons in Houston there, BK?
That's a great question.
Oh, God.
The Wheelhouse.
The Wheelhouse. Thank you very much.
Thank you very much.
And how is this story playing in Houston? Because Houston's got a lot of Aggies. It's an Aggie town at a lot of levels. A lot of Longhorns, too. But certainly Austin is way, way heavier burnt orange. And Houston, different animal. How's it playing there?
You know, it's not often where college football is the number one story in Houston, especially in May, right? But college football was the number one story in Houston. Hell, it was the number one story everywhere yesterday. So, massive story. Aggie fans are obviously ticked off with Nick Saban. They are loving Jimbo's response.
Oh, yeah.
I mean, you know, A&M, it's already a cult. they already love themselves some
spoken
themselves.
By a true Longhorn.
But, oh, man, they're loving this. They're eating this up. And I think – honestly, guys, I think it's the third win for Jimbo over Nick Saban in the last year. Beat him on the field last October with a backup quarterback, beat him in recruiting, and I think in terms of the court of public opinion, he won this round yesterday too. So not a lot of people get the best of Nick Saban. It almost feels like Jimbo's gotten the best of him three times over the last 12 months.
And that'll be interesting as we were just kicking around. That does this, though, for Nick Saban, shining this light? Because if Nick Saban doesn't go here, you know, the Jimbo Fisher rant on National Signing Day, the whole idea of the signing class kind of goes away, and everybody starts getting ready for the season. Did Nick Saban do this to not let it go away so that the NCAA gets off their rears and actually goes and investigates this? Because Nick Saban essentially said, if you go look into it, you're going to find it.
Right.
You're going to find it.
Yeah, Pandora's box has been opened, guys. I mean, the toothpaste is out of the tube, and people are trying to get it back in the tube, and there's no chance that's going to happen. So, look, I honestly give A&M credit for doing what they did. Sure, they were paying players to get on campus. There's no doubt in my mind that I've got on good record that they were doing that. But nobody's been regulating NIL. There's an open window right now. And A&M has more resources than just about any athletic department in the country. So they were taking advantage of an open window where nobody was really doing anything to prevent them from doing what they did. So, yeah, maybe Nick Saban is going to create some change. Maybe people are going to take a closer look at NIL now that this is such a big story. But I do find it kind of cute that the guy who ruined parity in college football is complaining about somebody else ruining parity in college football. Like, there's hypocrisy on both sides in this whole story. But maybe Nick Saban making this the number one story in the world yesterday is going to create some people to finally make some changes with
this. Well, and to your point, if the Aggies, you know, if they do come in and somehow close the door and tighten regulations and start paying attention, you know, the Aggies will say, okay, well, all right, good. But no one was – the door was open. We took it. But again, if there's proof of illegalities by the Aggies in this recruiting cycle, Nick Saban wants them to be looked into. He doesn't want them to be forgotten before they close the door, right? Because I do think the NCAA is trying to tighten some things down. They're trying to build some guardrails. Nick Saban
because wants you're already recruiting for 2023.
Sure.
Well, don't think that's not a part of this. If you look at the Alabama recruiting class for 2023, there's only three commitments. And I think Nick is finding a harder time on the recruiting trail that he's dominated for so many years.
Right.
Because it's a different landscape. And he said it in his comments on Wednesday night. You know, Rising Tide Foundation or High Tide Foundation, we're not doing that. Yeah. We're specifically set up to not, you know, incentivize. And we're just here for the players that are on our campus. We're not doing that. And he said it. We may have to start, essentially. To which, you know, that's what he's wanting whoever's going to investigate it.
Yeah, he's behind the curve with all this stuff that's going on since his quarterback made his $100 million last
year. He wants, before whatever tightening comes and whatever they change, he wants people to not forget the Aggies and not go look at it. You know what I'm saying? Like, almost don't let them off the hook for this. Go back and look. And to your point, BK, I think most people think to get eight five-star recruits and most of them out-of-state recruits and pulling, you know, Walter Nolan out of Tennessee and guys out of Florida and guys out of the East Coast. I mean, I'm not saying you can't. I'm not saying you can't recruit really well, but at the same time, come on.
Y'all have been to College Station before.
Yeah.
Come on now.
Yeah, and I think that's what Nick Saban is saying. Let's not – before we tighten
you better
things
have
down,
some pretty good – you better have some solid evidence about it because, you know, the NIL is out there and there's all kinds of ways to finance kids, but – you're making those statements. You got to know. You got to have incredible proof. You can say, well, I think this is what's going on. I heard about it, but
well, that's not what he said. He said they bought all their players.
Every player. He said every player. I mean, he didn't say, you know, a few of their players. Dude said every player that they have. That's big time right there.
Yeah, that's
and that's the one I say you can't walk that back. That's not being walked back by anybody. Not at Texas A&M. And if it's not true, it shouldn't be walked. They should be upset about that.
Yeah, and look, Jimbo, to be as adamant as he was that none of this was happening, has to feel good that there's no evidence out there. There's no proof.
Oh, he better be sure
that Nick Saban's going
well,
to be
able to.
Well,
that's the part
find.
Of – I agree with you, Jimbo. I liked his quick response, controlled the narrative, get your message out, and be emphatic about it. But at the same time, for him to sit there and act like well, they asked him, do you know about these collectives and these – to be that ignorant that I don't know anything that's happening. I mean, you know, sell me something else at that point.
And he knew when Jimbo's been around. He knew when the bag was being sent around years and years ago. He knew about that stuff. That guy was at Florida State.
Breaking news.
I mean, really?
Breaking news, gentlemen. College coaches pay players to come play for their school.
Yes.
Breaking news.
And, you know, again, the Aggies didn't go out and invest in Jimbo Fisher to – they want to be relevant. They want to be big time.
Sure.
That's what they're paying for. That's what they're seeking. That's why they left the Big 12 and tried to get out from under Texas's shadow to be, you know, themselves, you know, one of the top programs in college football.
Does he understand he's going to be – that Nick Saban is going to be pissed when he comes to the state of Texas? What's wrong with Jimbo? He got him last year. We're just playing him. Does he understand how mad that dude is going to be in when he gets off
Guess
the
what?
Flight here?
Talent wins. And to get that recruiting class that they got, it should pay dividends. They got a lot of good players. We'll come back. BK will hang out with us a little bit. We'll talk some NBA playoffs, including the Celtics' response to their Game 1 loss to the Heat. Also, his Dallas Mavericks in action tonight out in San Francisco. We'll preview that game. Zay Collier will jump in as well. We've got Gossip and the Blitz for the end of the hour, which is always fun. So lock it in on the day of the Mullet Open. We're here at the Hyatt Lost Pines Resort in Bastrop, Texas. We'll be here all morning, teeing off at 11 a.m., and we're coming right back.
It's Bucky and Aaron.
Good point on the Specs text line. A lot of conversation, obviously, about the Jimbo Fisher reaction to the Nick Saban comments. And then the walk back of Nick Saban. This is interesting. It says Alabama doesn't have nearly as many wealthy alumni that A&M does. And certainly Texas, a threat to Saban's dominance. And that's, I think, a fair point that, you know, A&M does have a lot of wealthy boosters and donors who can fill the coffers. Texas would also be in that category. Alabama has some, as many. So, you know, if it's going to be about arms race and about dollars, did that put you this? It echoes, you know, that comment echoes something Lane Kiffin said back on National Signing Day when Jimbo Fisher had his first rant about this, when Lane Kiffin said, you know, the budgets are different here than at some places in Texas as far as that goes. So we'll see where it leads to. The next date to circle is July 18th through the 21st. That would be SEC Media Days and the SEC coaches meetings. That will be fun.
They're going to be a throwdown there.
Speaking of getting your popcorn ready, well, remember back when and Brad Kellner is hanging out with us. He's out here at the Mullet Open back from Houston where he does the afternoon show down there at the Wheelhouse and does a great job. Good reaction there. But, you know, remember when was it Phil Fulmer who had to have the armed security escort to the SEC Media Days back in the day when he got into a feud with Nick Saban in Alabama over a recruiting issue? This obviously takes it to a whole different level when they go to Atlanta in mid to late July. But Brad Kellner is here, so why don't we kick around some other topics as well, including the NBA playoffs, Brad. I mean, let's start with last night's game. How surprised were you to see the Celtics not just beat Miami, but to just poleax them on their home floor?
Look, playoff anything is always awesome. These NBA playoffs haven't been that awesome. Too many blowouts.
I agree with you.
We just haven't had a lot of close games, a lot of final-minute action in these NBA playoffs. So, look, big-time response by the Celtics. I figured they would bounce back, getting Marcus Smart back, getting Al Horford back. Miami had to take care of business in game one with those two guys out, and big for Boston to even up the series. That was Miami's first home loss throughout this entire postseason. So, yeah, I mean, obviously surprised when any team beats a team as good as Miami by 30, like what happened last night.
But, and it looked like it could have been 50. I mean, it was bad.
It was over at halftime, man. I mean, if you turned the game off and went to sleep at halftime, I wouldn't have blamed you at all. So, big-time response by Boston. They were more physical last night. They looked like the more desperate team. You could tell they didn't want to go back home down 0-2. So, big response there. I think we're in for a long series out east, though.
Me too. And, you know, great point about the blowouts. We talked about that with the Dallas-Phoenix series, that you've got all these stars, and I don't think we've got one really good game. I mean, one game that would be your edge of your seat into the final 3 minutes. And, you know, so far in the conference finals, we haven't gotten one either. Miami was dominant in game one. Boston responded in game two. Game was over by the fourth quarter. And obviously Dallas and Golden State, same thing in game one. Will we get a good game? What can Dallas respond tonight, BK? That's your group. That's your team. Luka Doncic has been amazing.
Yeah.
Jason Kidd's been incredible in his first year, dialing up adjustments and dialing up defensive you know, matchup issues. What do you see for your Mavs tonight?
Yeah, I figured the Mavs were in trouble in game one. Made a call to the cousin.
Nice.
But you did it. You put the whammy on them?
Put some money on Golden State in game one. I just figured there'd be a hangover effect from game seven that the Mavs won in the Valley.
You were a winner?
I'm not calling them Phoenix or the Suns. They're the Valley, okay? That's what they call themselves now. So I figured there'd be a little bit of a hangover effect.
Isn't there a show called P-Valley?
I don't know.
On Showtime?
What website is that on?
No. There's a show on, I think it's one of the, channel's called P Valley. Okay. You know what P stands for.
Yeah, I figured. I figured that's why I asked what side it was on. I think tonight's a closer game. And look, the Mavs lost game one against Utah, won the series. They lost game one against the Valley and won the series too. So I don't think they're scared. I don't think they're worried. I don't think they're nervous about being in a tough spot in
Luka better figure out how he's going to play a little bit of defense because they're going to attack him every time they have the ball against him.
Well, Golden State, right after. I mean, if they make shots at that clip, nobody has any chance against them. I mean, they were making shots at a ridiculous percentage in game one. They were kind of getting whatever they wanted to. The Mavs defense, which has been so good all year, so good in these playoffs, just didn't show. So against a team with the experience and talent that Golden State has, if you don't bring your defense, you've got no shot against them. So I think tonight will be more intense. I think a good chance the Mavs even this thing up 1-1. I don't think either of these series, though, are going to be short. I think both of these are going 6 or 7.
Question is Luka having a pint right now?
Oh, right.
Luka having a pint.
He didn't drink enough before game one. That might have been his issue. We got to get him some Austin cocktails or some Tito's or something and really loop him up for
That's
game
exactly
two.
Right. Yeah. But Zay Collier back at the Horn headquarters, you know, he said it yesterday. If Andrew Wiggins is your fifth best player and worst player in your starting lineup, you're pretty talented. And he did a great job on both ends the other night. Zay, do you think we get a good game tonight? And what's your theory on why there have been so many blowouts in these playoffs?
Just probably the three-point shooting and just how easy it is to go on runs. And sometimes guys just packing in when you realize you're already getting beaten, just getting ready for next game. But I definitely think the Mavericks could even the score tonight. They have to. I mean, even though they lost both game one and two in the Suns series, I think going back to Dallas 0-2 against this Warriors team is way different because Jordan Poole and Andrew Wiggins, they could put so much pressure on you offensively, especially if Finney Smith and Bullock are worried about Steph and Clay. So I think the Mavs could even it up tonight, but they're going to need a big game from Luka.
You know, Zay, when you're talking about Poole, you know, I think people just think he's just one of that group. You got to do something about his scoring. I mean, for the Mavs, they've got to defend that guy and not letting him be not just a really good defender, but a scorer. He's scoring too many points for the Mavs not to do something about him as an offensive player, right?
Yeah, absolutely. And when you have the ball in his hands coming off the bench and you're worried about Steph coming off these dribble handoffs and coming off these down screens and flare screens and whatnot, then you kind of get Jordan Poole on the island by himself when he has this ball handling ability that gets him to the rim and gets some step back jumpers and different threes and different shots, and that creates opportunities for everybody else on the Warriors. So Jordan Poole, I thought he should have been most improved player of the year, and he's definitely showing his dominance. And if the Warriors want to win a championship, they're going to need him to keep playing the way he's playing.
Zay Collier, we'll have some other basketball thoughts coming up. But, BK, while you're here, other big stories down in Houston, obviously the Astros off to a great start to beat the Rangers last night. Speaking of calling the cousin, going to blame – but your guy Matt Bush cost me the night. I had the under 7, and it was 4-2 in the ninth. All I needed was a 3 outs,
Come
and
on.
It's over. I'm taking the under home, and instead gives up the 2-run homer. Rangers still won the ball game, but always good to get the silver boot. And I know having grown up in Houston, there's a passion for the Astros in that town that's for real.
Oh, no doubt about it, man. I mean, it has become a baseball town down there in Houston.
There's no passion for those Texans?
Well – No. Nah, there
is. Passionate disinterest.
There is. Look, it feels like people are starting to hop back on the Texans bandwagon. They've had a good offseason.
Right, now that they know everything's done. Deshaun Watson, he's
Deshaun
no longer
Watson's
there.
Deshaun Watson's out of there. Bill O'Brien's out of there. So it feels like there's a light at the end of the tunnel for the Texans. They're still pretty far from that light, but it feels like there's some optimism there. But, yeah, the Astros, I mean, they've been the most consistent team, not only in baseball, but in all of sports over the last 5 or 6 years, and they haven't missed a beat despite, you know, losing Carlos Correa to the Twins in free agency. Everybody thought the team would take a step back. They're still first place in the American League West. They still have one of the best records in all of baseball. So, yeah, man, that is a well-oiled machine down there in H-Town. They're still well-run, and they are no doubt a World Series contender once again.
It's pretty remarkable. I mean, as an Astro fan, you live through the rebuild years, which were rough, to say the least. But I remember, you know, Jeff Luhnow was the general manager who was ousted amid the scandal. But I remember an interview I did with him where he says, we were talking about, you know, your window in time. Is this your window to make a run? And he said, you know, we as an organization don't believe in windows. We believe in hallways, which seems prophetic now because you said it. It wasn't just Correa this year. They lost Garrett Cole one off season. They lost George Springer the year before. The last year, then Garrett Cole, Charlie Morton. I mean, it seems like they lose a top of the rotation type player or a top of a core foundational player every year. Yet they replace them. But that's the philosophy, right? You you got Altuve locked in. You've got Bregman locked in. You've got those core, and then you develop guys like Yordan Alvarez. And remember Jeff Luhnow back in the day refusing to trade Kyle Tucker when everyone wanted to trade for something to make a run. He didn't, and now Kyle Tucker can step in and help replace the production of a George Springer. Jeremy Pena can step in and replace the production of a Carlos Correa. And that's one thing that is of note. When the Astros get to the bigs, they're ready to play.
Yeah,
no doubt about it. They show up and they're good.
I mean, Jeremy Pena's been better than Carlos Correa this year.
Yeah.
And Pena's 24. He's a rookie. He's making $700,000. Correa's the highest paid infielder in all of baseball. And Pena right now is second in war in the American League behind Mike Trout.
Yes.
It's amazing. This guy just got called up. It's his first action in the big leagues, and he's been one of the better players in all of baseball. And then Justin Verlander, to see what he's doing.
Oh.
Coming off Tommy John, not pitching at all the last 2 years at the age of 39. Some pretty great storylines with the Astros thus far, no doubt.
Yeah, and we'll see. And obviously developing the pitching has helped because, you know, a guy like Framber Valdez, who was great last night, Luis Garcia is a young pitcher that has stepped into that rotation in a big way, and they're still hoping to get Lance McCullers back from his arm issue at some point here by midseason. And the Jake Odorizzi injury was tough to see the other night. Hopefully he's going to be okay. But you're right, the Astros have as much pitching depth as anybody, and we know they're going to score runs. As the summer heats up, the Astros will put runs on the board. And, you know, the kid Yordan Alvarez, I mean, he's kind of like watching Ivan Melendez bat for Texas right now.
Oh,
it's just like if Yordan's up, you're like, all right, I'm just sitting and watch this one.
No doubt. Question for you guys. Y'all still do the blitz on
yeah,
this program?
That's
still a thing.
What are you trying to tell us this time? You're trying to find out. Well, you know exactly what time we're supposed to break. What are you doing
here? You guys
here?
Still do that?
Yes.
People
look at him.
Still
he's trying to mess
that?
With us about the break. I mean, that's exactly what he's doing. Okay, Jimbo, way to go.
Just making sure things haven't changed too much over the last few months. Come on,
yes,
man.
We'll be a little late. That's all right.
Okay.
Yeah, we'll get to the
special
blitz.
Guest.
And, we appreciate your insights. You're not playing today, are you?
God, no. No.
He's going to be on with Chad a little bit, be on with us a little bit when I have to start moving around. And you've got to go hit balls today. You don't just – one guy who doesn't – you know, your buddy Trey Elling III has not swung at a golf ball. He's coming here to make his debut of the golf season. How about that? What do you think that's going to look like?
Awful. Does he know this is for charity?
Yeah.
That's anti-charity.
We're not trying to kill the kids.
Trey Elling on the golf course
is
anti-charity.
Yeah.
That's for sure. Well, I'm assuming at some point, BK, you'll end up in the Lazy River.
Oh, 100%.
100%.
Uh-huh.
No question. I'll be thinking about you, and I'm on the 10th hole dying of heat. But, you know, yeah, I got to go get warmed up at 10 o'clock, that's for sure, my buddy Quan Cosby. And, of course, thank you to the two gentlemen that have that won the auction at BidBid, at the BidBid app, to play with Quan and myself. Raised a good chunk of money for the Burke Center for Youth. So looking forward to that. We'll get you to announce the winner coming up after the top of the hour. But, yes, coming up, we still do the Blitz, Brad. Mm. You can stay forward if you want because I'm sure they'll
say hi to you. Brad is here, guys.
Yeah, BK is here. Also a little gossip in there as well to get ahead of it. And we know also in this spot, it's Craig Way.
Where you get that from? Did someone tell you that? Did someone tell you that? Because I ain't for no games, okay?
No games, just the gossip, brought to you by Bud Light Next and our great friends at Brown Distributing, of course, the tower of Michelob Ultra this year. Great Brown Distributing product, but the Michelob Ultra is in the tower. That's for the closest to the pin in each group today.
Oh, yeah, the tower's here.
Tower
along
is here.
Along with some this was yesterday's guys forgot a bunch. Look at that, E.
Wow, cases of of Carbock, too. That's a Brown Distributing product as well.
I think some of that may be in your trunk on the way out.
Hello. we appreciate Bud Light and Bud Light Next. it's not already in my trunk. I don't know if I've already smuggled a couple out of it. But yes, Bud Light Next. It is the next big thing. It's brewed for what's next. That's right. Only zero calories. First ever zero calorie beer, zero carb beer, I should say. It's got 80 calories, but zero carbs. First of its kind. It's also 4% alcohol by volume, and it's dang good. Hot days like today, it's perfect. While BK's floating in the Lazy River, we're playing golf. That's what you do. And it's perfect for Austin, Texas. The vibrant city that it is, always something to do, always something to celebrate, but also staying in good shape and slim and trim, cutting the carbs, no carbs, from Bud Light Next. Well, here we go. This is disturbing. A 911 dispatcher has been placed on leave and may lose her job after allegedly hanging up on a supermarket employee during the shooting rampage in Buffalo.
Ooh,
that's a problem. You can't do that. You hung up on her?
911, you got anything? No, bye.
Yeah, that's bad. That's somebody not good at their job. That would be a problem, to say the least. Also, today is National Pizza Party Day. And Zay, you're, BK, you're big on the pizza. You still doing the fast food thing, or have you cleaned up your diet a little bit down there?
Is a one-legged duck swim in a circle? Of course I'm still doing the fast food.
Oh, boy,
today.
He is going to be a part of this blitz. Well,
he lives
I can
in
tell.
Houston now. He lives down in West Houston.
He's got all
I'm
that humor.
He's going to some more nicer places.
I think he has a gate around his home now.
No, not quite that. The food scene down there is incredible.
And is it really?
For the first 2 months I was living there, I actually took advantage. I was going to nice restaurants, local restaurants, taking advantage of the diversity that exists in Houston. And then I resorted right back to fast food, baby. At Taco Bell three times this week.
There you
three
go.
Times this week. Mexican
so
pizza
gross.
Is back, gentlemen.
Mexican pizza.
One of the greatest days in American history.
As we start ranking the greatest days in American history, I think it's really up there. According to a new report, the average person spends $314 per month on impulse purchases. Okay? Impulse purchases, meaning not planned. You just somewhere and you're like, oh, I need that. Do you make impulse purchases often, Mr. Buck?
No, not really. Except for that driver.
Golf clubs.
That golf club, yeah.
Yeah, that's where you're likely to do it. It's like the PGA Tour Superstore.
Yeah, that's what did it.
You buy stuff every day, Buck. What are you talking about?
No, you're thinking of my wife who's right in that
room.
Well,
I know she does, too.
Yes, Amazon comes to my house three times a day.
You go to the flower store every day, I feel like, and you're buying new stuff out there.
And that's
true.
The online purchasing ability now does... my wife's pretty good at the impulse purchase on Amazon. Oh, that looks nice. Bang.
Looks like we needed that. Looks like not really.
Because I'm with you. I think if the Amazon guy leaves your house and comes to my house, it's pretty amazing.
When they get to know your name, hey, Buck, hey, how are you? Should I leave it on this side of the gate? Yeah, why don't you just leave it right there since you're not going to bring it into the house for me.
Have you made a large impulse purchase lately, BK?
Does fast food count
as
an impulse purchase?
Yeah, that kind of is. But you got to eat.
Large impulse
those
purchase.
Dolls count. You know those dolls? Different variety of dolls that you bring to the
house.
Well,
I think about those before I buy. Those aren't impulse purchases. I do a lot of research
there you go.
Before I buy.
Smart. But $314 it says on impulse purchases. I told y'all when I was driving down 71, right? We're 35 hits. What is it? But 71. The flyover, and I'm going west towards the radio station. And there was a fleet of Amazon trucks. Like there were like 8, 10 of them. And I'm like, they're all headed out to Westlake. It's pretty amazing. Here we go. Here comes delivery time for Amazon. I would say impulse purchase is so much easier now because the click of a button, you are doing what you need to do right there. All right, so some salacious gossip brought to you by Bud Light next. Coming up, we will reset that PGA Championship update. Also get back into the top stories of the day. But right now, let's get to your blitz.
The Bucky and E Blitz.
The Morning Blitz brought to you by Apple Leasing, where you only have to pay for the new half of the car or truck, the half under factory warranty, in any make, any model. Click appleleasing.com and see how easy it is.
All right, we're on location, so you people aren't going to be as funny. I understand that, so be careful with yourselves. And BK is here. First Blitzer, you're up.
Hey, how about Lane Kiffin chipping in on A&M? Talking about the last 5 years of lack of five-star recruitments and their 4-4 record in the SEC called them a joke.
Thank you very much. Lane Kiffin's getting to get in on this action, too, here very shortly. Next, Blitzer, you're up.
Hey, BK.
Yes.
Sorry you had to leave Houston, but next time I'm in town, we'll hang out. This is Deshaun Watson.
Deshaun's taking his teammates to...
The Bahamas. Yeah, very nice. Well done.
Minus Baker Mayfield. Not invited.
You know what's legal in the Bahamas?
Ooh.
Prostitution.
Oh, well, yeah. Massages are lined up for Tuesday.
That's
just,
right.
Just so you know.
Next Blitzer, you're up.
BK, what you doing back in town? Is Houston not big enough? You're cutting in on our herd here. Tell
cutting in on our herd. How about that? Wow. Next Blitzer, talk to us.
Hey, around here, you got to earn your name like Cripple Cricket and Termite Choking on Spinners, but I can't wait to see dumbass Aggie Bitch Boy in the Code Red game. And Bitch Boy's going to come here. I got a date. Big Dog's got a date with Bitch Boy. He's going to come see me.
Listen, the Big Dog is hot this morning.
That guy's still here.
No, Big Dog is still here. Next Blitzer, talk to us.
Hey, Bucky, you keep saying this is Texas. Boy, this ain't Texas of the 90s, and no E, Texas isn't in that category. Put your whining, put your chest back on, and crap out another player. Fight on.
Fight on. Aggies are fighting back this morning. Next Blitzer, you're up.
Good morning. Is this B&E?
No, it's not, but we're going to let you speak anyway. Go ahead.
I appreciate that. I just want to let y'all know, These two coaches fighting back and forth is a bunch of BS. Football is very clean. This is Reggie Bush.
Thank you, Reggie. Thank you for that call.
Reggie's
this morning.
Back. Give me back my Heisman.
Next Blitzer, you're up.
Yeah, Deion and Saban got into it. What's going to happen to Aflac?
Yeah, those commercials they do together.
Oh, that's right. They're partners on TV.
Oh, that's going to be ugly. Next Blitzer, you're up.
Hey, y'all. I just want to say I hope y'all have a great Mullet Open. And, BK, go back to Houston.
Thank you very much.
See that? Very nice. Very nice.
Next to the Lazy River.
Next Blitzer, you're up.
Oh, Heifers of Austin. Good news. BK's in town.
He's back.
They're in trouble this weekend.
Next Blitzer, you're up.
What is the hot seat level in H-Town for Steve with no O?
Wow, thank you very much. Next Blitzer, talk to us.
Hey, BK, bring Bonner back to Houston with you. He sucks.
I don't want him either.
They don't want him there. Are you kidding me? Next Blitzer, you're up.
Hey, BK, this is OU Mark. Bucky gave me some case of Tito's. You feel like drinking today, big guy?
Is the Pope Catholic?
Yeah, great.
You gave that guy a case of Tito's? No, that's got to be a lie.
No, come on. I want to lose the sponsor. Next Blitzer, you're up.
Yeah, that big dog cat keeps shooting his mouth off about the Aggies. Somebody needs to remind him that his team got their asses kicked by Kansas.
Oh.
That's true.
Is that really true? Mm. We're still trying to figure out if that happened. Next Blitzer, talk to us.
BK was spooning with who?
Somebody last night.
I don't know.
It's been Bucky's room.
We just either. Don't know. We don't know if he was actually in my room. Next Blitzer, you're up.
Is this thing ever going to end?
Hey, this is Big Dog. I got me another bitch boy.
Hey stop. You stop with the cussing. It's a little over the top.
It's a family program.
Come on. Really. All right, next Blitzer. Last Blitzer, you're up.
Hee-haw. This is Nunley. Hey, will you take care of my shaft today, get it so I can hit it straight? You know what I mean? There you go, that shaft.
Thank you.
That's plenty.
Shut it down.
Look at what you caused. This is what you've caused here today.
Oh, man.
By the way,
can you say half those words on the air?
I don't think so. Okay. We're about to.
Sure,
it might be the last blitz we do. We're talking about Amazon drivers. See this story out of Florida where there's a TikTok viral video of a attractive lady climbing out of the back of somebody's Amazon truck, like zipping up their dress. He was making a special delivery.
Helping out.
he's been fired.
Oh, sorry about that.
The driver.
I was just a consumer at HEB. Can you help me with these packages in my trunk, please?
He's been fired.
You get it first.
He was great. The scantily clad woman was filmed climbing out of the back door of his delivery vehicle.
He was just giving her his package. What's the problem with that?
Delivering the package.
Come on now.
That guy had side action going on. I love it. Be careful when they're coming to your house.
Yeah, thank you very much.
We'll be back. Who knows what's going on in the back of that Amazon truck? Hey, throw a little mattress down, whatever, you know. What happens at Amazon stays at Amazon.
Absolutely.
We'll pick that up. We've got another hour to go. And then, of course, it's Light the Tower coming your way, too. It is the Mullet Open. Live and getting ready for it. 11 o'clock shotgun. Appreciate everybody. Looking forward to seeing them as they get here. Should start to really get crowded in the next couple of hours before tea time.
Thank you, Smokey Moses here.
Smokey Moses here with the breakfast. That's always a good thing. We're coming back on 104.9, 101.9 AM 1260 streaming. Always live on your Horn app, on your smart speaker, and at hornfm.com.